There are two texts. The first is from the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the second is from the New Testament, Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Those are the texts. The more a person reads his Bible, the more he is impressed by the numerous parallels between the Old and New Testaments. A few obvious examples. The Old Testament's Adam, tempted early in his earthly life by the devil, is matched by the New Testament's Christ, similarly tempted at the beginning of his ministry. So deliberate is this parallelism that the Bible expressly brings it to our attention by picturing Christ as the second Adam, pointing out that both Adam and Christ are representative men, that as in the first Adam, we all die, so in the second Adam, we all live. As Jonah is in the belly of a fish 3 days and three nights, so the executed Jesus is in the belly of the earth, a similar span of time. Satan, initiating sin in the disguise of a serpent, is paralleled by Christ conquering sin in the likeness of a man. You get the idea. Not only do these numerous parallels enhance the merit of the Bible as literature by giving it a degree of unity and making it look suspiciously like the work of one author rather than merely the composite of many authors, it seems to be at first glance, but also these similarities suggest that parallelism may well be an ingredient in God's plan of salvation. Such seems especially true of the parallel between the two testaments I want to focus on this morning. You can take it for what it's worth. Indeed, it's worth much. And indeed, I hope you take it. The parallel is this. A tree was instrumental in our fall, and a tree was instrumental in our salvation. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil is paralleled by the tree of the cross. And might this parallelism, too, be quite deliberate? For why else is the instrument of Christ's execution called a tree? The tree of the cross. From childhood on, I have been puzzled by this designation, the tree of the cross. Well, okay, the cross is made of wood from a tree. It's planted in the ground like a tree, and it stands erect like a tree, yes. But aside from these similarities, the comparison of a cross to a tree has always struck me as a rather far-fetched one. Unless this is the Bible's way of calling attention to an intended parallelism. At any rate, the church has so understood it. How does that proper preface go for the Lenten communion service? Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on the tree of the cross didst give salvation unto mankind, that whence death arose, thence also life might rise again. And that he, Satan, that he who by a tree overcame, might likewise by a tree be overcome. Press this parallelism for all its worth. Both trees carry a curse. Of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we hear, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And of the tree of the cross, we hear, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Indeed, the curse of the one is the curse of the other. Eternal death, hell, damnation, separation from God. What Adam unleashed when he ate the forbidden fruit of the first tree is what Christ experienced when he hung on the second tree. But you see, Christ experienced it in Adam's place, and in the place of all people since Adam, like you, to be specific, and like me, to draw even closer to home. And that makes the big difference between the two trees. What I've been calling a parallel ultimately becomes a contrast, like the difference between a problem and its solution. Though a curse is attached to both trees, the one tree, because Christ suffered that curse in our place, the one tree becomes for us a tree of blessing, a tree of life. And that is, after all, why I bring this parallelism to your attention this morning, so that you receive the blessing, so that you latch on to the life. Pointing out this parallelism is not especially meant to gratify your sense of symmetry. It's not particularly meant to enhance the merit of the Bible as literature. It is not primarily meant to buttress the doctrine of the divine authorship of the Scriptures. But it is meant as a proclamation of the gospel, as one more way, despite the all too human and inadequate language in which it is capsuled, as one more way of confronting you with that truth that is more vital to you than the air you breathe, the food you eat, the curriculum you master, and the person you marry. The truth of Christ cursed on the tree of the cross for our salvation. This is the life. Take it for all it's worth. Amen.